welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. It has been so long. My name is Brock Dittus.
It has been so long that my name is still Aaron Flores. Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations with quite a bit less beard than before about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. I say that because Aaron has shaved his beard.
Yes. Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living, and no more beard.
That's right. You know what we're not covering today?
And what are we not covering?
Your face.
My chin strap is not being covered.
I miss it. It was a good beard, but with all things.
As my little brother said, it was magical.
It was.
He said, that's where all my powers derived.
Did you notice that today? Did you lose them?
Did have a bit of trouble getting here, so he might have a point.
Well, I think I put something on Twitter shortly before both of you arrived. And Maria, sure, you are in the room with us. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I was saying to the world in general that I felt bad that both of you had to ride through the only time that it rained today. And it was like half an inch worth of rain or something all at once. So my apologies.
You're apologizing for the weather.
I'm apologizing that you had to go through it and that we didn't have it at your house or your house.
Yeah. Well, the worst bike ride is better than the best car ride.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. And we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff with you, Maria, in just a moment. One of those things being that you do not own a car, I believe. Is that correct?
I do not own
a car. Yeah. Which is fabulous. And we appreciate that. Not that we're not down on car ownership, because cars can make fun things happen sometimes.
Some combustion-based vehicles are necessary.
Sometimes they save lives, and we're always into that.
This is true.
Yeah. But it's also exciting.
I pulled over for one of those today.
Yeah?
Yes.
With sirens and things?
With sirens and things.
Yeah. I think I did, too. I was driving my own combustion engine school bus. Yeah. I think I had a direction with this, but I don't know that I did.
We're not against cars.
No.
I use cars all the time. I rent cars to go to bike rides that are
Some of my best friends are cars.
They made a movie about them, the name of which I cannot remember.
I don't know the name of that movie.
There's a sequel. I can't remember the name of that one either. we just got back from our tour in California. We were gone for the past 8 days, and we have some stories about that, which we'll save until the end, because some people we know are tuning in just to hear Maria. And we don't want to bore them with things that are not Maria. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No pressure.
Okay.
Well, back in the early days of the show, and I guess this is kind of de facto becoming that form now, but back in the early days of the show, we used to start with a bunch of stuff and get to the guest interview like later in the show. And I realized that most people who tune in are tuning in to hear the guests, and they're not necessarily interested in you and I, Aaron. And so I think...
What?
Well...
I go to bed with that thought every night.
I'd like to think that they are, but also I realize that it's best to talk to the person of interest first, and then you and I can bullshit for the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's kind of like, this is a dated reference here. David Letterman's Top 10.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is that still happening?
I don't know.
I haven't watched television in a while.
I don't even know if he's still alive.
I think he is.
Okay.
I would have heard about that.
Yeah, I haven't watched late night TV. Yeah.
Is he any funnier? We don't know.
Sure. He's just as funny as he used to be, right?
Okay. Well, there we go. Draw your own conclusions, folks.
But yeah, like originally the Top 10 when it came out was like the first thing that happened. And then they realized people were tuning in just to watch the Top 10. So they front loaded all this other stuff.
Right. Right. And so, you have to kind of dangle the carrot a little farther out. Yeah.
You aren't going to say stuff.
Yeah, I suppose we did.
Was that a self-censor?
I think it might have been.
Oh, wow. Incredible. Well, that saves me one more piece of editing down the road.
All right.
Hey, X-Ray listeners, how's it going?
Holy shit.
Trademark. So anyways, there's all that. The only other thing that I have of interest, and I don't know if this is actually of interest or not, but I just got my glasses back after falling off my tall bike.
Hey, happy glasses day.
Actually, Maria, you were on the shortest and longest Midnight Mystery Ride. The last one.
Oh, I got stuff to say about that.
Do you?
Oh, please.
You should say some stuff about that.
MMR warms my little heart.
Yeah.
I love MMR.
The Midnight Mystery Ride. Once
a month.
I love
to be a lady doing outlaw stuff.
Uh-huh. And it is outlaw because a fire was built. And I won't say who built it because that would incriminate them.
The people who were there built a little campfire. Yeah. There were many of us attending the campfire, maybe 40-ish people.
But no one person was responsible for it.
No.
No.
In fact, I think that God might have sent a lightning bolt down and then it spontaneously started a little fire and then we gathered around it in a circle.
We'd like to think we had the stamp of divine approval on this campfire.
At least Mother Nature's.
Yeah.
And as we were standing around the fire, I personally, somewhat mesmerized by the fire, staring right into it, was really surprised when three big hulking firemen in dark uniforms stepped up and
just
immediately
snuck
started
right up.
Spraying it.
Yeah.
The spray rebounded into my face.
Oh, into your face. Oh, wow.
Which you listeners can't see, but I'm gorgeous and it really put my modeling career at risk. But I don't know what's in that stuff. I mean, they could have given a little warning.
Right.
And then after they emptied their entire extinguisher into the little bitty campfire that was 10 feet from the Johnson Creek watershed that they've been cleaning up and trying to keep chemical free.
And bragging how it's coming up now and you know, it's cleaned up. And
I'm really confused by the whole thing. Is safety the priority? I mean, an unattended fire is unsafe.
Well, immediate safety as opposed to environmental safety down the road, perhaps?
Well, I mean, the safety of me getting my face sprayed and then the safety of nature with the watershed and chemicals going into our water versus a campfire. We could have just put buckets over it. And that's what I have to say about it.
Yeah. Okay.
About this past MMR.
Right. I was going to say they had a lot of firepower in those extinguishers, but that would be incorrect. So... Yeah, anyways, you were there, and that was the point at which later I was a little happy, and I fell off my tall bike as I was trying to get on.
Much later.
Well, earlier, I guess. Yeah. It was so late.
Earlier
it was
the next day.
Yes. But it was like 5 a.m., and it was time for me to go home, and I tried to get on the bike, and I could not because my sense of balance was skewed, and I lost my right lens in the process, but I didn't realize that until the next day.
But you didn't get hurt otherwise?
I got like a bruise.
Like
but
a scratch on the
nothing
face
permanent.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
just
well
enough
done.
To make Adele curious the next day.
Is the bike okay?
The bike is okay. Well, I mean, I've done so much to that bike that I really don't know if it's okay or not. It is structurally sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still rode it.
That's right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and Brandon from Vancouver, he was kind of my guardian angel that night.
Oh, yeah.
I think because he was with me the whole way. And he was going the whole way back to Vancouver at, 5 in the morning? Which, yeah. Anyways, got the glasses back today. And wearing my backups from like 5 years ago, I realized that my prescription has changed. And as soon as I put my frames on, I had this relaxation in my face. Like I had been kind of straining my eyes to use the old prescription for the last week. Which it's changed slightly and I can't remember like by how much. But yeah, so basically all the way through California, I don't think I had a headache, but I could have.
You had a face ache.
Yes. Yeah, I had an eye ache. And now I have my accurate prescription from Asterix Eyewear, which you and I both love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great people.
We can't tell you to go support them because that would violate.
That would be a call to action.
Yes,
well,
yes.
I need new glasses. I'll go there. What is it? Asterix?
Asterix. Ah. Yeah, it's not like, spelled like asterisks.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I think that's missing the S at the end. Anyway, there's a link. If you Google it, you'll find Asterix Eyewear. They do
if
a
you
good...
happen to find yourself where like Foster and Powell and 50th all come together, you'll find it.
True. It is there. Yeah. So they're, yeah, good folks there. Anyways, these glasses had been at the shop, I guess, for like a week. And then as soon as I got home, I went over and got them. And now I can see. So it's beautiful. Anyways, Maria, sure. Thank you so much for coming in. And you are, let's see, there's a number of interesting things about you. First of all, you work for Western Bike Works.
I do.
We also said you don't own a car.
I do not.
Okay. You have some interesting views about pink, the color pink.
Possibly.
Okay. Yeah. And you also enjoy being outdoors and riding in remote places, riding on gravel.
I like gravel grinding.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
True.
Excellent. So there are those things, and there are probably more, which may come out as we chat, but which do you want to start with?
Oh, boy. Well, we should start with my job.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about Western Bike Works.
Getting a job at Western Bike Works in the bike industry, doing what I love to do, is like this crazy fantasy that's come true.
Mm-hmm.
My personal life and my professional life have completely intertwined.
Yeah.
I often don't know which I'm... doing.
Right.
Am I just having fun? Am I at work? So not to put too much of a plug in, but we're a little bike shop over at Northwest 17th and Lovejoy,
yeah.
And we have a warehouse out by the airport. So I'm just very proud to work for this little locally owned company, and they treat the employees very well. They only hire cyclists, so I think that's kind of a neat twist.
That's interesting. It's hard actually to imagine someone like a bike shop hiring someone who is not a cyclist.
Well,
as far as like, at least as mechanics, but I guess maybe other staff.
I think because we're a mail order, you know, because we have a big warehouse, that could be, you know, a thing that you wouldn't necessarily look for cyclists, but it's in the application. It's in the job application. They ask for your bike experience.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
They only give you 3 lines. I'm like, are you kidding?
I have much more than that to offer.
Please see attachment.
Is there the little attach sheet if necessary?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. And how long have you been there?
I have been there about 4 years now.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. What drew you there in the first place?
You know, I was just getting burnt out at my purchasing job somewhere else and went on Craigslist to look for jobs and answered a buyer job. And when they replied and I saw Velotech, which is the overall DBA, whatever, I almost fell out of my chair. I'm like, Velo, what?
Yes.
So
this
just
is
look,
word we like.
Just total luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And what is it you do there then? Is it all you also purchasing?
I was
there?
Hired as a buyer.
Okay.
Did that for a few months. And then I transitioned over to store manager of the little warehouse outlet store. Did that for a few years. And then I went in for my performance review, and my boss and the man who was about to be my new boss were both in there. I thought for sure I was getting fired.
Right, right. Whenever you see the conglomeration of high-level staff hanging out.
Well, both of them in my review. And instead, they offered me this other position to move to the downtown store and be the marketing coordinator for the store.
Okay.
So it's really exciting. I get to work on donating to worthy causes. We just partnered with the CCC on a bunch of stuff, so that's pretty thrilling.
The Community Cycling Center?
Yeah. Western really believes that the more cyclists there are, the better it is for everybody. So although they want to be competitive and they want to be successful, they don't want to do that at the cost of anybody else's business, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So, you know, and then I also get to partner with local event rides, come up with prizes for alley cat races, just all sorts of stuff. Whatever I think is a worthwhile way to embed us in the community, I get to do it.
Yeah.
So, pretty rad.
And I was thinking about that sense of competition. Aaron, you and I feel like we've talked about this before, about how like it's kind of nice in Portland. You don't get that much sense of competition between shops.
No.
And yeah, the idea maybe that like...
I don't know if it's between all forms of economics around here, but that's been my experience with bike shops here in Portland is they all just sort of work together. I mean, they all kind of have their own niche.
Right.
In a way. And there's plenty of crossover. But there's this sense that like you were saying, there's plenty of cyclists. The more cyclists there are, the better it is for everybody. But at no point have I ever felt like anyone feared that the market was saturated with bike shops.
Right. Like you're going to run me out of business.
Right.
What's your deal?
Even though we're in Portland where, you know, I don't know, every fifth street corner has a bike shop.
Right, right.
Which is great if you get a flat.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
That's true.
And not everybody likes fixing their own flats. I mean, yeah. What do you have a record? Like, are you good at changing flats?
That's funny you should mention that. I just taught a flat repair clinic.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that before we started recording, I think.
And, you know, I didn't tell them that this is the way. I'm not a mechanic. It's not the right way. It's just my way.
Sure.
And I led a shop ride on Sunday and a woman got her second flat and she's totally capable of fixing flats. She knows what she's doing, but her hands are filthy. She's tired of bending over. And so I asked, you know, can I please fix it for you? And then I started the timer.
Oh, there you go.
Which I didn't tell any of the people watching me, but my personal record, which is not that great, but my personal record for fixing a flat is 9 minutes.
That's not bad.
And I was really hoping to beat it, and I didn't. I did it in 10 minutes.
But okay.
Yeah, I can fix a flat.
Nice. Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I got one on our trip this last week. The only flat of the trip, actually. Oh. And it was on the way into Santa Cruz, but it was one of those pernicious little wire pieces that just works its way into your tire past like whatever flat protection you
those
have.
Those are from truck tires.
I think so, yeah.
Tire on tire violence.
Yes. Yeah, nobody likes that. But you would think they could find a way to work together. And yet. Anyways, I don't think I had. It was probably much longer than that. And I had to swap out. I think I started with a tube that had a hole in it.
I think it was like around 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. But yeah. Maria has me beat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
So how long has it been since you owned a car? Or have you ever?
I have owned a car.
David Byrne will be upset.
Oh. I didn't have a car in my 20s. I did receive a car as a college graduation present, which I sold.
Mm-hmm.
But I, after moving to Portland and bike commuting for a few years, I developed a back injury.
Okay.
And there was no way for me to get to my job. I tried the buses. It took 4 buses.
Yeah.
And it was very jolting. And so I bought a car. I bought my parents' secondhand car. Uh-huh. And I suffered quite an identity crisis during that time. I felt like, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm a total sellout and I drive a car now and I can't ride a bike and this is it. This is the rest of my life.
So maybe we need to back up just a little bit more and talk about how you were such a bikey person before this, because to suffer an identity crisis because you had to use a car means like you got into the biking thing pretty early on.
And wrapped your identity around the bike quite.
Yeah, or maybe even the bike wrapped its identity around me a little.
Sure. I don't say that as a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's been an interesting evolution. I always rode a bike.
Uh-huh.
That was just how I got around in college and as a young adult in Chicago. I rode a bike and moved to San Francisco, rode a bike. And
was it fun, cheap? What was the primary motivator when you started?
It was just like the way you think about wearing shoes.
Okay.
It was just regular.
Like you don't think too much about the shoes after a while.
No, you just put them on and then you go.
Okay, yeah.
So I didn't really think much about it. It was just regular. And so then I'm in San Francisco, fall of 92.
Uh-huh.
I don't know a soul. And I get off work on a Friday evening. I have nowhere to go. I'm about to ride my bike, up the hill to my apartment. And I start noticing cyclists going the other way. They're going down toward Union Square or down toward Justin Herman Plaza.
Okay.
And I'm seeing enough that my curiosity has really peaked. And I decide to turn right instead of turning left. And, it's one of those moments, one of those big moments in your life.
You chose the path.
When I turned
traveled,
right instead of turning left.
Or I guess
left.
More traveled in this sense. But
But
it made all the difference.
So I get down to Justin Herman. It did. When I get down to Justin Herman Plaza and there's maybe 150 people on their bikes. I've never seen anything like that before. 150 cyclists gathered.
All in one place.
Together. A sea of them in this little square. And somebody's handing around flyers and maps. And it turns out, unbelievably, I have stumbled across the first ever critical mass.
Very first.
The very first.
Fascinating.
So we go take the streets. And it didn't feel scary. It didn't feel like a protest. It mm-hmm. was like fun.
It was like wearing shoes.
It was like wearing shoes with a bunch of other people who also wear shoes.
Yes.
At some point, any metaphor breaks down.
Yeah, that's true. So, we're riding together. I always rode way off to the side on the street or maybe sometimes even on the sidewalk if I was feeling scared. And now it's evening and I'm riding with a bunch of people on bikes and we're taking up the whole street and we're having fun and we're talking and we're singing and we all rode to some beach together and just had a grand old time. And, then critical mass started up every month.
Yeah.
And suddenly overnight I was a bicyclist.
Yeah. You're kind of a part of a movement.
I was part of a movement. And also I wasn't just like some girl who moved there from Chicago, who had this degree and whatever. this became my identity.
Mm-hmm.
Getting places by bike, having fun by bike, socializing by bike.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big turning point for me. And then, you know, these many years later, moving to Portland, having this back problem, and having to buy a car, that was a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get out on the other side then?
I got really lucky. I got a physical therapist. I don't remember his last name. His name was Brian. He was at OHSU.
Mm-hmm.
He had just ridden his bike across country. And when I said to him through tears, listen, Brian, I need to ride my bike. Can you, whatever has to happen for me to ride my bike, I really need it. He heard me. And I had been to a series of physical therapists. They didn't get it. So, he gave me exercises that I still do to this day. And now it's been like 10 years since mm-hmm. this happened. And then I got better and I could ride. He told me a really great thing. He told me that there is no ride too short.
Hmm.
And for somebody who had prided themselves on being a long distance rider and a hard rider, to accept that a ride around the block was actually a thing,
it's
a worthwhile
legitimate.
Thing. Yeah. That was new information for me. And he was totally right. And I go by that still today. There's no ride too short.
So if you have a goal to ride every day, like a ride around the block will count
yeah.
towards that.
Yeah. You know, if you live in the country, ride to your mailbox.
Yeah.
See what that feels like.
Yeah.
So then after my back got better, you know, now I own a car. And once you own a car, you kind of need a car. It's a kind of a funny thing. Mm-hmm.
You need your job to pay for your car. You need your car to get to your job.
Yeah, it's all this big circle. So I kept the car for, I believe I had it for 7 or 8 years. And then I finally crashed it accidentally.
Mm.
Nobody was hurt, including me. But the car was wrecked.
Okay.
And, of course, that happened in the fall, right before the rains were starting.
Yeah.
So that's not the precise ideal time to go car free, but
sure.
that's how it happened for me. So the really big difference in this incarnation of my car free life is that I don't judge people who drive.
Right.
In the past, I was like, oh, these car drivers, I don't need a car.
What the hell is their problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now on the other side of it, I have a real appreciation for how much other people's cars make my car-free life possible.
Sure.
And what a luxury it is and what a privilege it is. You know, the Amazon driver brings me really heavy stuff that I want that I don't
right.
want to drag home.
Yeah. And freight is, that's how I get all of my things. I just got the Ramones, by the way. The anthology.
Yeah. I've seen that on your
that
desk.
That came by mail.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
At first,
thank
when you,
you
said you got the Ramones, I thought maybe you somehow got the band.
They arrived in a car, yeah. But yeah, that would be probably somewhat impossible, at least at this point. But yes. So it's like a flat tire. Like when your bike gets a flat, you're never expecting it. It never happens at a convenient time. When your car crashes and you can't drive your car anymore, that's also not a convenient time. Did you have like a sense of panic or something at that point? Was it like, how am I going to survive? Or did the old instincts kick right back in?
You know, it's kind of funny. Like big picture, I was like, oh yeah, I could do without a car. But little picture, it's pouring rain. It's cold and dark and windy. And the alarm goes off. And there's no choice. You know, that's very here and now. That was a different feeling.
Brass tacks.
Grocery shopping continues to be a little bit of a challenge for me. I don't have a cargo bike or anything. I have just like a traditional rack and panniers. And so I'll kind of chip away at my grocery shopping through the week and just do little stuff. Or
kind of European style?
Is that
one baguette at a time or something?
I wish that we had more European style, you know, a bakery. And
yeah, even in Portland, that's difficult, I think. I mean, well, and Aaron, in your situation, you live in a house where a bunch of people all make a run with a vehicle,
yeah.
right? So it's like you...
Well, there's 8 of us living in the
right,
house.
Right. I guess at that point, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So one person buys the groceries for all 8 of us.
That's right, yeah.
And it's delivered by van. Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did rent a car. I use a service called Relay Rides.
Oh, right. That's the other one that I never remember. Kind of like Get Around?
It is, I think. I really like Relay Rides.
Okay.
It's a free membership.
Yeah.
You can rate cars. It's a great thing.
But like someone else's private car that they just make available for rental?
Yeah.
Kind of like Airbnb.
And then you communicate directly with them. You've been screened by the website, so they know you're legit.
Yeah.
They've been screened, so you know their car is legit. And then you can see all the details about their car. When I'm going to pick up a car, I'm going to get there on my bike, and I'm not leaving my bike behind.
Right.
So I need a car that will take a bike in some way, and I've probably done it, I don't know, a half a dozen times now, and it's worked out great. So I rented one for Thanksgiving grocery shopping.
Ah, yes.
I can't believe how much stuff I bought. It was really...
It was the traditional spread then.
But I also, you know... As long as I had the car, I'm like, well, I think it's time for a 48-pack of toilet paper.
Right, right. Let's take care of this, yeah. Birds and stones and such. So I'm trying to think of... you went to the Dalles recently, right?
I did.
Yes. I think it was with Neighbor Kelly and Coffee Kelly.
It was with both of the Kellys. Yes.
Every Kelly. And Twitterless Andy? Was he there? I forget.
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll never know. Because...
Who are these people? Do I know the Kelly?
I thought they went on the same time that you did. They could have been a coincidence, or it could have been a different day.
But I'm not sure.
Okay, no worries. No, I heard good things about this ride out in the Dalles, and also Bike Portland coverage on how the Dalles is slowly becoming an oasis for people who like to ride their bikes on gravel in the country.
It's a lovely place, and there's a huge network of gravel roads and. Velo Dirt is the outfit that has put on a ride for, I want to say 5 years called the Dalles Mountain 60.
Gotcha.
Those are the same guys that do the, ride through the desert.
The Oregon Outback.
Yes.
I believe, yeah, they put that together.
I'm signed up to do that.
Are you?
Oh, I'm scared to death,
so
but
lucky.
I'm
really,
doing that. Yes.
Do you want to come back and tell us about it when you do?
I would love to.
Okay.
Excellent.
Because I think we were talking to Donnie actually about getting him at Donnie Kolb with Velo Dirt, and I think he was super busy at the time, and so we ended up
we couldn't get him
shifting
before.
It around. But yeah, we have to make sure we get him again.
I encourage you to keep trying to get Donnie.
Maybe we can get you and he together in the same room.
Oh, wow.
After the fact.
That would be
just to talk about what
that'd be good.
How
you know, if we're still talking then.
Oh, sure.
That's true.
A lot can happen on a ride through the desert.
I will tell
miles,
you,
no water.
After doing the hardest ride I've ever done in my life, which Donnie put on. It was called the Stampede, 130-mile gravel grinder. When I whimpered into the finish line asking for Donnie in the dark campground, where's Donnie? A little voice came back around and said, why are you going to punch me?
Don't blame me for this.
Just, he comes up with some really challenging and beautiful routes. You know, what he's really doing, my take on it is that he's exploring and discovering amazing places and sharing them.
Right, right. Which
generously
is great.
Yeah,
because it's the sort of thing that I suppose I could see someone being worried that, like, if they share this with too many people, that what they like about it is going to change. And
it's funny, he's hit kind of a sweet spot, because I can see the other end of the spectrum where somebody is really dying to get a lot of people interested in their ride, and then not many people show up.
Yeah.
And he's just right. I don't know. He's got the magic.
Yeah.
He's doing it right.
That's glorious.
So back to the Dalles, the Dalles Mountain 60, he's been putting on for 5 years, and, I did my first one 3 years ago. Wait, now I can't do math. This year was my third one.
Okay.
It's the easiest gravel grinder you've ever heard of. And you don't have to do it on the Velo Dirt day.
Right.
You can just Google it and check out the route. There's barely any turns. It's not really that challenging in terms of distance or climbing or terrain. So it's a really good kind of get your foot in the door of what does a gravel grinder look like.
Getting your feet wet if the case is so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got lucky this year, actually. I had the first raindrop on my cheek on the last descent into the Dalles.
So that, just about perfectly timed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of awesome. Like today, if the rain had showed up like a half an hour later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit later.
Exactly.
All because I shaved.
Now it's quiet.
I suppose maybe that's it. Yeah. The magic was in the beard.
Is it less comfortable to ride in the wet without a beard?
Actually, I haven't noticed that so much. All day today, I would be doing, like, I would be scratching at my non-existent beard.
Right.
I'd gotten into the habit. It was so long. I'd gotten into the habit of, like, curling it around my finger. And so I would, like, put my hand up and go, like, oh, wait. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Nothing left.
But it's actually more often that I'm without a beard than with. It was just a really long period of letting it go.
Long winter.
Well, I think you look really good clean cut.
Oh, thank you.
Aww. And that's high praise. Well, hey, we should talk about the pink conversation.
Yes.
Before your time with us is
speaking
through.
Of aesthetics.
Yes. The pink conversation is the title of a blog entry I posted a little while back. It's about feminism. And this is a topic that I really have an internal struggle with. I'm often, maybe even more often than not, referred to as a woman cyclist, as a female cyclist, instead of just
as opposed to just
cyclist.
A cyclist.
Right,
right.
When I earned my R12, which is a big deal randonneur accomplishment, riding a 200K permanent every month for 12 consecutive months, and I got my name on the list, after my name, there was a parenthesis F.
Female.
I cannot
was
tell
there a parenthesis
you.
After everybody else's name?
Only the women.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like in professional sports, as athletes have started to come out as gay, the media refuses to refer to them as anything other than gay football player,
yep.
You know, or what have you. Wouldn't it be great if it could just be like football player? Because, like, how different are they than the rest of us?
That touchdown was the bravest touchdown ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though there's 100 other touchdowns before them.
Right.
I have been singled out at the top of a hard hill ride. Wow, you're such an inspiration. Well, why aren't any of the guys an inspiration?
Right,
because I wore a bra all the way up here.
now I know what
that's
I need
all
to
it
do.
Takes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, here's where the conflict comes in. At the same time, I realize I'm riding on the coattails of women who've come before me.
Mm-hmm.
Who've made it possible for me to have such a great lifestyle. I've always been treated nicely when I go into a bike shop. I've always gotten the promotions I've wanted and the pay that I've wanted. I don't feel nervous when I'm going down a dark alley. Maybe it's because I'm on a bike going really fast.
Sure.
So what I'm coming to realize is that my position of kind of a feminism backlash is really due to my privilege. So I'm grateful for it, but I really do struggle with the gender segregation in cycling.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, like you're saying, you came on the coattails of all that have come before you, but in the meantime, I think, especially cycling and gender issues, I think we've got a long ways to go still.
And, you know, I read there have been a few blogs going around or a few writings on the internet going around about this very topic that are just so fascinating to me. And I'm so thrilled that it's a debate and that it's out in the open, especially because I am so conflicted about these feelings and I would feel guilty. You know, what kind of empowered woman am I if I'm not a feminist?
Sure.
In any case, a lady in the UK wrote a blog entry, and I cannot recall her name, but it was about female cycling versus beginnerism, where it's kind of become a little side thing that woman cyclist means beginner cyclist.
Mm.
And that's a shame.
Like, you're making the lines are being drawn where the lines should not be drawn. The connections are not the right connections.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you said about the gay football player. I'm not a woman cyclist.
Right. A cyclist.
I'm a cyclist. I'm certainly a woman, but I seriously doubt anybody comes up to you guys and says, like, hey, what's it like being a man cyclist?
You're such an inspiration.
You're such an inspiration.
You're right. Yeah. Well, and it's like one is not a modifier to the other. Like, you don't take either of those terms. Like, both are true, but, like, it's not like one changes the other.
Yeah,
it
and
should not.
The thing that I've experienced is I feel very empowered by cycling. Just the feeling of mobilizing your own body with your own strength is, it's physically empowering, and therefore it's mentally, socially, emotionally empowering. And that power, I feel like it's kind of grabbed away from me the second it's somehow, well, you're a woman cyclist. And I'm sorry, I can't articulate it better.
No, it's okay.
It's a definite struggle. But I hope that your listeners will check out my blog. It's Bicycle Kitty at Blogspot. And the particular entry is called the Pink Conversation.
Yeah, we'll put a link up to that.
Awesome, thanks.
You were going to say, Aaron?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I lost my train of thought.
No, it's okay. Well, it's almost like the feeling, I think, maybe what you're describing is like the being unwantedly put underneath a glass ceiling of some kind. Not in an employment sense, but just like in, like somehow you're being, it's being reduced.
My accomplishment is extra special because I'm a girl.
Right. You did pretty well considering that you can't only get this high.
Or less special.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how you look at it. It makes that distinction, being a person who grew up in a town of all white people and not being a white person. You know, it was something that always bugged me, was like, I was always somebody's token, whatever friend, you know, and I was never just Aaron growing up. I was like, oh yeah, my, you know, blank friend, Aaron,
right.
You know, and I know it was like all innocent and everything, but it still like bugged me because that always separated me from like, you know, Seth or Mike or whoever, you
and
know, that was
you,
just,
yeah.
that was just Seth or Mike, you know, And I think, I mean, our experiences are not the same, and I'm not like trying to like
no, but I
say,
see where you're
but
going
there at. Is that distinction there by mm-hmm. by saying like, oh yeah, she's a female cyclist, you know.
And then you know, there's another little layer of it is that I proudly belong to the Portland Society. We are a ladies' bikey networking group in Portland.
Right.
We're women only. So and. I'm on the board. I'm very involved. I love these ladies. They, most of the other ones that I've met are feminists, and I'm really inspired by them. We have lots of debates like this. I'm often at the center of controversy.
so you have you have your own distinction there as well, then.
I do. I'm a little bit on the outside.
Yeah, this is the tension you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, I'm part of a all women's book club. Often at work, you know, I just taught this flat clinic. That was a ladies' night event, and that's what people have been asking for. That's what women have been asking for.
Sure.
We want to learn how to fix flats with no guys around.
Yeah, I think that's necessary. You know. I can see a counter argument of like, well, why isn't there a guys only flat fixing clinic? And you know, my counterpoint,
there could be, and I could teach it.
Right.
Well, my counterpoint to that is like every other flat fixing clinic is a guys only flat fixing,
maybe.
Just by its nature, by the nature of the sport, by the nature of the culture of cycling so far.
Effectively.
It's getting better. We still have a long ways to go.
Yeah. Based on who shows up.
Right.
I'm trying to remember with there was a line from Rivendell. They had that great post about like things that every cyclist should know. And I'm trying to, it was something like, you know, if you're a guy, don't automatically assume that you can, you know, coach every woman you meet.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think back to way, way, way back when we interviewed Martina Farner.
Yeah.
And, you know, she mentions like the boyfriend bringing the girlfriend in. And, uh-huh. She chasing the boyfriend out of the store saying like, let me fit her. Let me
go
ask
across
her
the
what
street,
she needs.
Get some beer.
Yeah.
I have definitely experienced that when I was managing the outlet store where the couple would come in. And maybe it's like, father and daughter or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, but it's a man and a woman and he's talking for her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one.
And someone loses their voice. Not like literally, but like,
and it's most times like all with the best of intentions most times. But again, like I don't know what my female friends really want. I've got an idea based on what they've told me, but I don't know how they sit. I don't know how they lean or how they turn or whatever.
One thing I've heard again and again, is that women feel intimidated going into a bike shop, and that's so heartbreaking to me. I hope that I don't know where that comes from. I've never felt intimidated going into a bike shop. The few times I've had a negative bike shop experience, I left and didn't give them my money. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a million other bike shops to go to.
Sure. You can vote with your fun tickets.
Yeah, you can vote with your fun tickets. Ooh, yeah. I like that.
That's what Bike Snob calls them. The,
your fun tickets.
Fun tickets with nice. Pictures of presidents on them. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we're lucky, not only being in a town of so many bike shops, but we're lucky to have a lot of female oriented bike shops
right.
as well. You know, female leaning. I don't know how best to put that, but like, you know, people like Gladys, people like
right.
Clever Cycles.
Gladys and, from Gladys Bikes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's an odd going joke we have because her name is Leah.
Yeah. You know, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I heard from Leah. I have not met her in person, and I made a little sideways reference to female-specific bike shops in the Pink conversation.
Oh, okay.
And these many months later, I think due to this recent kind of stir-up of the UK blog, and Ellie Blue wrote really – she's such a talent. She wrote a really great thing talking about the three ways that you can approach a movement. You can join in and change it. You can completely rebel against it, start an anti-movement, or you can start a parallel movement.
Mm.
So she's definitely in the parallel movement.
Yeah.
I guess I'm in the first one where I join it and make it what I want it to be.
Right, right.
But in any case, due to this recent stir up, Leah found my blog and recognized the reference. And I'm so excited to get to meet her. We've set up.
Oh, she's good people.
Yeah, she wrote me the most gracious, sweet note. I can't say that if the roles had been reversed, I would have been so understanding.
Yeah.
But she really wants to understand my perspective and talk more about her business and just exchange ideas.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. So if you're out there, Leah, hi, I can't wait to meet you.
The only way it's bad is that I wish we could get both of you in here to rumble someday.
Right, right.
Rumble, huh?
Get it on
but
my that,
that's exactly not what's happening, which is fine, which is better that way. Well, thank you so much for coming, Emery. We
Thanks
really
for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
Is there anything you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to?
Look on the Bicycle Kitty blog for rides I'm leading.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I love riding bikes, all different kinds of bikes, all different types of rides. There's no ride too short. If you are listening to this and you're like, oh, these serious bike riders, how could I ever fit in? You found it. You can fit in. Come on one of my rides.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And it's bicyclekitty.blogspot.com. And how was that beer, by the way?
Fabulous. Excellent. Delicious.
Yeah,
IPA.
It was the
Hop Lava.
Double Mountain.
We got the Double Mountain Hop Lava.
Yeah. Aaron, you had the Bundaberg?
Bundaberg is now in bottles. I'm a little sad.
Oh, instead of the special one with the pull tab.
Right.
It used
right.
to be like
They're
a grenade
They're now in
thing.
Like regular yeah. shaped bottles, but they've expanded. And now they have this lemon, lime, and bitters.
Ooh.
And man, it just punches you right in the mouth.
Fabulous.
Yeah. I at first I was like, oh man, this is terrible. But now I really like it.
Excellent.
After repeated punches in the mouth.
It's an acquired taste. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Now that you don't have the beard, that feels good.
Yes. Right, right. All right. Well, we'll be back on the other side with a recap of our experiences in California. That's right. Grandma doesn't sleep so well without her medicine.
Grandma's starting young.
Yeah.
All right.
29.
So fair warning, I may have to duck out.
May have to duck out. All right, cool.
Oh, no.
Well, let's begin now.
I'm on for the overnight.
Yeah. There you are. Yeah. What time do you start? 9?
9.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we better get started.
So we went on a bike tour.
Hells yeah.
Yeah.
Has anyone asked you guys about it? I don't know like how
like,
connected
well,
you are.
You look really
with-
tan, and I'm like, well, yeah, California. And I kind of like sort of primed. So I like basically forced someone to ask me what I did for spring break.
Just kind of like, oh, don't I look like, rosy?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, I feel it's hard to come back.
Oh, this whole
thing? Did you do anything cool last week? Oh, you didn't do anything cool. And then she was like, well, did you do something cool? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, bike through Big Sur. And she's like, what's Big Sur?
What's Big Sur? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but I pretty much like forced her to be like, what cool thing did you do?
Aaron, I have a surprise beverage for you.
I'm closing my eyes.
There it is.
Can I open them?
Yep.
Okay. Mother of God.
A little Fanta grape action for you there.
Damn you, Fanta grape.
Well, Fanta
grape. I'm going to drink you now, you bastard.
Ended up in the bottom of your pannier as we were trying to pack our bikes at the end of the tour, which was not how the plan was supposed to go. So I think we were talking about how impressed we were by Amtrak staffing at the San Luis Obispo station.
Yes.
Those guys were very friendly. They helped us pack up, which we didn't expect the situation. We thought we were going to be able to box our bikes traditionally, and it turned out they only had one box that you could just roll a bike into. And so, Adele, you and I had to go to another bike shop. They only had one box there to put a bike into.
Yeah, we ran down the street.
Yeah. And so then I had to sprint to another bike shop kind of in downtown SLO. So it was like a total of 2 miles or something that just like I was sprinting with a big box in my hands.
Yes, good way to finish the tour.
I was worn out, yeah.
He said something to me like, I'm sure glad I started running before I went on this.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
It's hard to run with a bike box, though, because I tried and it kind of acts like a sail.
It does.
And it started to like push me down the street. the wind was catching the box and like pushing me south, and I was struggling against it. And the more I ran, like the more I got pushed. So I had to basically walk with the bike box back to the station.
So basic overview. We started in San Francisco, took the train from Portland to San Francisco, to Oakland, took the ferry to San Francisco, and then down the coast to Half Moon Bay, Santa Cruz, Monterey.
Yep, those were the
Big Sur,
the Knights,
and
resting spots.
Morro Bay / San Luis Obispo. So,
which my mom always wanted to go.
Always wanted to go to Morro Bay.
It's still a mystery to me.
Right.
You haven't gone to ask her why?
No, just this vague text. I've always wanted to be to go there.
Well, it seems like a nice place.
It's got a great rock.
Yeah. Mm. That rock rocks. And the bike camping spot was actually like one of the nicest ones, I think.
Oh,
in my
Morro
opinion.
Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure your mom wants to go to Morro Bay for the
bike. For the bike camping especially. Yes.
You know, the only thing that was kind of disconcerting was that at Morro Bay, there were people, the folks that were camped out next to us, I don't want to make like judgments based on appearance.
I know what you're
going to say. But it looked like they were going to steal all our stuff after we went to bed.
Oh my God, I was worried about that too. my bags out and I like left my bags on the back of my bike, and then I looked over at them and they were like playing with their dirty cat, and I was like...
And maybe that makes me a bad person.
Oh, no.
Okay, but I had a somewhat similar reaction, but when I saw the cat, I was like, oh, these guys are all right.
The cat was the clincher for me. I was like, oh, no, they travel with a cat. Because
who the hell brings a cat camping?
Well, and also, who brings roll-on luggage into the middle of a eucalyptus grove?
That's true, too.
Yeah, it didn't quite add up. But again, I don't want to be like, I don't want to make bad assumptions about people. It was just like, I was afraid. That's why I didn't think we should go to the marina to watch the sunset.
Are you serious?
I just thought they were weird.
Okay.
Was all.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have just told me. Maybe I would have been able to dissuade you or something.
I guess so. But that we were like within earshot.
I thought you were just too lazy to walk down the street to watch the sunset. No. Oh, Brock never wants to
I'm
watch
not
the
lazy.
Sunset.
I'm paranoid.
That's why I volunteered to run for the boxes the next day.
Well, I feel better about you now.
Yeah. Big Sur was great, Aaron. You earned your badass socks.
I did. I wore them all the train ride.
Yeah.
You know, in retrospect, I should have put those things on like the day we ran into that hard rain.
Yeah.
Or the day after, I should say, because then other people would see them.
That's true.
Well, yeah, we started biking into Big Sur, and we were met with flash flood conditions, basically.
Holy shit,
that
yes.
was so scary. I have not been that scared on a bike for a long time.
Yeah, and you're not, Adele, you're not one to go and say, hey, we should stop. We should, like, toss in the towel.
No, I'm no noob to road biking.
We're from Portland. We know how to
bike
in the rain.
I've biked in many dangerous situations, but this was so, it was just kind of beyond what I was comfortable with, which is a lot for me.
Yeah,
to say,
for
let's
sure.
pull off the road and blinding rain and super tight highway, basically the one with no shoulder, going through these canyons with rain causing the mud to like flow down these
yeah,
lanes
was,
and like obscuring
this,
half
like,
the road.
Chocolate river coming
and the
down.
Cars were yeah. trying to go, you know, they just want to go 60 miles an hour. They don't really slow down that much. I mean, maybe they were, but there wasn't really any place for the cars and bikes to be.
No.
And water.
No, we could not coexist very
yeah,
well.
There are too many cars, bikes, and mud for, yeah. for us all to be there. So
chocolate
I figured
rain.
We should get out. Because the cars weren't going to stop, so we
no.
probably should.
Right. Well, if they couldn't see where they were going, that was probably yeah. a bad signal.
So
for
here's
us.
What I was thinking from the back of the bus as I was.
Oh, yeah.
is like, you know, it's pouring down. We're all kind of miserable, but I see you guys like continuing going. I'm like, okay, well, if they're going, I'm going. And that's, I'm just going to swallow it. And I'm just going to, you know,
right on.
Keep approaching it as, and so when you're like, we need to turn off, this is too dangerous. There's a little part of me that was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt so relieved once I said that. And then that barn happened to be there.
Well, yeah,
it's
what we found.
Amazing.
Because we stopped at like a stand of trees. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that right behind the stand of trees was an old storage barn for the state parks.
Yeah.
And that was where we got to hang
I
out.
I think it was a horse barn.
Yeah, originally
there were horse
it was.
In there.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they still kept horses
I
in
changed
there?
My pants in them.
You did.
Because they were wet from the rain. Yeah.
We left.
The gentrification of horse stables. I changed my pants, but now this neighborhood just isn't the same.
Since these hipsters started changing their pants in my stable next to me.
Right, right.
I'm moving out. The taxes are going to go up on my stable.
Yeah. So they're going to open a coffee shop on the other side of the stall.
We did have a fantastic lunch of, what, avocados, tomatoes,
and
hard-boiled eggs, which yeah. we got from Roger Grigsby in Santa Cruz.
Or we should say twice-boiled eggs.
Twice-boiled.
We got them from his five chickens.
His five chickens that he owns, yes.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Five of them.
Five. That's all. It was cool, actually, and meeting up with Roger, we'll talk about that, too. But, like, hard-boiled eggs, who knew? It's a great travel food. Big pack of protein.
Yeah.
And you're still way better at cracking and peeling them than I am. Both ends first, right?
Yeah. You hit the bottom and then the top, and then you roll it. And then you peel it with, like, the edge of your thumb, like you're counting money.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Oh, nice. We ate a lot of hard-boiled eggs. I think we ate about 3 dozen hard-boiled eggs.
I was trying to think, like, how many dozens of eggs did we
eat?
So
many eggs, but they just
basically
go so
a dozen
well with avocado
for
and
each
tomato.
Of us.
Yeah.
50 eggs.
Oh, such good energy food.
Yeah.
And I managed to overcook the first batch, undercook the next one, and then I think the third batch I got
right on.
Pretty right on.
Goldilocks
yeah.
style.
By more
except
Obey.
For the one that exploded inexplicably.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I
we
ate that
talk
one.
About that one.
Well, and none of us got, like, food
scurvy.
Poisoning or oh, anything, yeah.
Food poisoning, no. We didn't.
Because I was
flu.
Kind of worried about that. I mean,
oh,
I'd never done eggs on the road before. I wasn't sure how well it would work, and
right,
none
right.
of us got
no,
sick.
The only time I was really worried about that was when we were eating the undercooked, like yeah. the soft boiled eggs.
Yeah,
but
right.
I was hungry enough that I was like,
you said
to
the word
it.
Salmonella once, and I was like, nah, I've been eating raw cookie dough my whole life. I'm fine.
Right.
Shut up. And we're okay.
Big thanks to our friend Trent, who both met us at the
yeah.
beginning of the trip for our first night camping and brought a bunch of great food. And then also
it's in a way because of him that we did the hard-boiled eggs thing.
If
he
hadn't
have brought all of those eggs and left them
oh,
there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, because he left like bacon and eggs.
Yeah.
And
like we cooked as much as we could eat for breakfast.
Right.
But,
still had eggs left over.
But we were like, yeah, what do we do with these?
Yeah. And so hard-boiling. That was your idea.
Oh. Sure.
Yep.
It was the mothership.
Okay.
I just happened to receive the signal at that point.
There we go. And Trent also lives in Slow City. Yeah. I keep calling it SLO, and apparently no one knows what that means. So
people didn't really recognize Slow City very well either.
No. San Luis Obispo, which
right.
is a mouthful.
I just like
people
saying Slow City.
People from Slow City or SLO.
Or San Luis Obispo.
And the greater SLO metropolitan area.
Please decide what to
please.
Call your town.
Yes, and give us
we're
the memo
confused.
In triplicate, please.
Right, right. But he lives in that city and has a family business there. And he brought some pizza back.
Some pretty badass pizza.
Yeah. And gave us a place to shower and all that. So, Trent, you are a good person, and thank you for helping make this trip so nice as it was. A lot of climbing, especially through Big Sur.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. I'm sorry, I just interrupted.
No.
I'm such in suspense. No, please tell us the thing.
There was a lot of climbing, and I really expected to be sore like that next morning. Every morning,
Every morning after.
And I'd never like felt like I got any less tired after any of these climbs.
Okay.
You know, on each day. But I also was never really sore either.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was just means more
we did
it right.
Bone weary. Well, did we get less tired. Mileage.
Oh, I would get tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But not sore. That's good. Yeah. That's good. We're not that old and creaky yet, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm older than all y'all, so there. I'll be your age canary.
Did anyone get to the point where they actually enjoy climbing? Because I kind of like biking uphill. Sorry to say this, but...
No, that's cool.
I kind of, I don't know, like, I feel like it's my strong point, and I'm not super fast
totally
on the downhill.
Oh, it totally is. It totally is.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about, like, doing comics of Team Sincerity, you know, while we're on the road
strategies.
And like character profiles and like what our superpowers would be.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, yours is definitely climbing.
I really like climbing up hills.
There we go.
Yeah, I've embraced the pain. It's taken me a couple of years to get there.
Yeah, climbing hills, it's kind of like, for me, kind of like running. Like you have to push past the point where you kind of break a sweat initially, and it's not that fun for the first couple of minutes, but then you start to feel okay about exercise. And that's the part that's hard for me to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But once I do, yeah.
Well, Aaron, you had some people cheer for you going up one of the hills, which
helped
a lot.
Okay, so I haven't done a whole lot of like long distance touring. And I'll hear stories from other people like, oh, these friendly people like brought us bacon or whatever. And, you know, that's yet to happen to me. I'm not necessarily expecting that with any... you know, tour I do in the future.
And you wouldn't eat the bacon anyways.
Also true.
It's true.
But yeah, what really got me more than like anything anyone, any kind of item anyone could ever have given me is just strangers like giving you this encouragement and cheering you on. Like this camper full of, I don't know, post hippies or
whatever hippies are now.
Yeah.
Crust punks.
They're not really hippies.
We're just like, where'd you start from? And I was like, oh, San Fran. He's like, all right, yeah, good job. And they're like all like yelling from inside their trailer, you know? All right. The driver's like leaning out his window. You're going to make it to the top, man.
That feels so good.
And it does. It does. That happened a couple times where
that's
like
so cool.
People were just like, yeah, right on. Or like the motorcycle guy that passed us, you know, going the same direction we are. He passes us. And then as he passes, just like holding out his thumbs up.
Yeah. Just like, you know? You go.
I was telling Brock, I'm kind of at the point where I'm almost angry if I get to the top of a big climb and someone hasn't stopped and offered me bacon. Because I have done enough tours where like
that's tour privilege. That's bicycle tour privilege.
Yeah, he
right
like
there.
Pulls his Westphalia over, you know, in Wyoming, like have some bacon, have some cheese. And so a bunch of Westphalia vans were passing us in Big Sur. And
no
every
one ever
time,
gave us bacon.
I'd be like, fuck, Brock, they're not. Oh, excuse me. But oh, they're not giving us. I was really expecting some bacon there, you know?
Right.
So I think I'm a little, I don't know, not jaded's the wrong word, but I think I'm like over-experienced now.
You need to go through some hardship.
I expect way more than actually I should expect. So, but encouragement can really go a long way. So
yeah,
that's
for sure.
Super cool.
Favorite spots for either of you?
I kind of want to say Pfeiffer Burns.
Mm.
It's not necessarily for any kind of scenery or any like the hike was really cool. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of this point of realization that, you know, I may not be as strong like climbing hills, or I may not be like the most, I don't know, like endurance, cyclist. But I could at least hold my own,
yeah.
You know? And when I, I was like feeling really down that day where I separated from you guys and was just like, I'm feeling really slow. I'm just going to go ahead and like, you guys are going to catch up to me anyways. And I honestly was like 10 minutes. I give it 10 minutes and they're going to pass me.
Right.
And gosh, what was that? Like an hour?
You were ahead of us the whole time.
And yeah, I mean, you guys probably stopped a number of times and I just kept going.
Not really.
We didn't. Well, we didn't stop going up the hill. We did stop on the way down. But going uphill every turn, we'd be like, is Aaron around this one? Oh, good. He's not. Oh, he must be ahead of us. So I don't know. We were kind of like cheering for you. It was a good thing that we didn't see you. We were like, I was like, he must be feeling really good today.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I got to Pfeiffer Burns, and I was there for, I don't know, like 5 or 10 minutes before you guys arrived. And yeah, it was at a point where I had just turned on the walkie just to see, like, okay, if they had stopped or if they needed to page me for anything, now I've got it on. And then, like, you guys show up from around the corner.
Right, right. Yeah, we brought walkie-talkies, but we only used them to find out what kind of coffee I wanted in San Francisco.
That's right.
That's pretty much it.
Quality or quantity, Brock?
Exactly.
I'm so proud of you that you chose quality.
Well, the funny thing is I actually said quantity first.
You did.
But then you didn't copy, and so I was like, well, okay. I'll go for the better option.
Well, the quantity would have been Pete's coffee, which isn't that grand.
Right, right.
But apparently this was like the best coffee you could get in San Francisco.
Yeah, no, Blue Bottle is very tasty.
It was good. Yeah.
What was your favorite spot?
Well, I have a lot, but I guess, I totally fell in love with Big Sur overall, but I was thinking about this today. I think one of my favorite spots was watching the sunset at Andrew Mollera State Park because you have to walk a mile from the road just to even get to this beach. So it had this wonderful feeling of isolation. And then the sunset that night was especially beautiful. And there were lots of like sharp pointy rocks offshore that the waves were crashing against. And that was a really beautiful 15 minutes. So favorite spot feature wise. And then with the sunset combined.
Yeah.
Perfect. So Andrew Mollera, if you're ever going through Big Sur, definitely discover that place.
And this is the point where Aaron has to go to work.
Yeah.
So. Bye, Aaron.
I'm sorry.
It's cool.
Aww.
Cheers, sir.
I'm glad
ride
it's not
hard,
raining
ride
out there.
Safe.
Day in school, everybody.
Have you told us to brush our teeth yet?
I'll let you do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I'll pass on the torch to you.
That's your line.
Everything is wet.
Oh. Everything is wet.
It was that in Kirk Creek. I enjoyed Kirk Creek very much.
That was your favorite spot?
Yeah, it had an unparalleled view of the ocean on a cliff right over everything, even though the raccoons stole our food there. But I blame the Forest Service for not installing better food boxes. So it goes.
Made for a good story.
Yeah. And that was our tour wrap-up, all too short. But before we go, how about some mail?
We got mail.
Got to say a big thank you to Ethan for becoming a new sustaining donor. We really appreciate that. Doug in Duluth is also another new donor. And he says, here's a suggestion for what is the bicycle shop equivalent of someone playing Stairway to Heaven in a musical or instrument store. I'm going to assume the guitarist playing Stairway in a music store is playing from ego and or arrogance. Someone walking into a bike shop that wants to stroke their ego would likely strike up a conversation with anyone willing to listen. They would proceed to talk about the 5.5 hour century ride with 5,000 feet of climbing they did on Saturday and the easy recovery 50 miler they did on Sunday. They would be a know-it-all on any bike topic that came up and would interject their wisdom in every conversation. They would mention that they had a 12,000 mile year last year and are well on their way to besting that mark this year. They would peruse the bike inventory, pick out the most expensive bike, and ask if they could order it for him or her. Okay, most likely a him in a different color. And then asked to look it up on the computer to see how long it would take to get it. After spending more than an hour in the shop, they would leave without spending a single dime. Every bike shop has at least one of these customers that comes in on a regular basis. Jolene also writes in. She says, the episode with Maddie Carlson and Katie Proctor was awesome. So great to hear Maddie talk again. I did that bad weather critical last ride she spoke of, and it was a lot of fun. Made some good friends. I would love to start one here in Eugene. Love all the Portland Bridge stories, too. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Jolene. The Stickman Twitter's at us. Hey, guys, thanks for the shout-out on the episode with Maddie and Katie. About to have my first baby here in Vegas. and I assume that's his partner, not him having the baby. Still living car-free, but planning to go to Arizona after my son is born in hopes they will be more bike-friendly. So I'll be interested to see what you come up with there. Jake enjoyed the episode with Phil B., says it's very inspiring. Phil himself fills in the blanks on our gun-toting question. He says, no, you don't need a gun. Common myth that too many up here try to perpetuate. Besides, the 357 isn't that comfy when stuffed down the Lycra shorts. I do see a lot of guys riding strapped, but I've never personally felt the need. I do, however, ride with bear spray in the summer and take the precautions I can, such as making noise when I'm riding in bear country. Haven't been attacked yet. And then Nick and Sue from the Bay Area. We're two fans of the Sprocket who live in the East Bay and know you're on the road this week. Here's hoping our state and the weather are both being good and kind to both of you. And I would say a resounding yes to both of those, even though it wasn't always wonderful weather. We have been listeners for the past couple of years, are fans of Portland and Carlite cyclists to boot. It's raining where we are today. It's raining here, too. So we've been listening to some of your older materials. Right now is your 2011 beer tour up to Seattle. I just wanted to let you hear from us and let you know how much we enjoy your work. Thank you so much, folks. Well, hey, this has been a good show. So in the absence of all other people who were recording with me, I will close out the show now. You can email us. It's thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com, Twitter @sprocketpodcast, and then phone in or text message at 503-847-9774. We are on the web at thesprocketpodcast.com. Music is from Ryan J. Lane, and our headline sounder is from Hurtbird, which we didn't use today. Thanks to our sustaining show donors for supporting our show costs. They are Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katrina Mellengard, Roger Grigsby, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, and Ethan Jorgie. All right, everyone, have a good week, and we will talk to you next time. All right, are we good? Oh, and I guess Adele has to, yeah. Sequester.
Bye, Adele.
Enjoy the thrones.
And the games thereof.
Exactly.
That they play.
God, I love Game of Thrones.
I haven't, I decided it's one of those things that I can't dig into. Kind of like Breaking Bad. Everybody was into Breaking Bad, but I didn't have enough time to like, watch the whole thing.
Well, you're wrong.
I probably am. I think that's the, yeah. I like if I my priorities are off.
You have a lot of life ahead of you.
Yeah. Totally. All right. Here we go. A Sprocket Studios production.